The Book Programme, presented by Hannah Murray.
Joining us on the line now is David Luby. He's a debut author with a passion for telling compelling, emotionally powerful stories which challenge, entertain and enlighten. With a background in journalism and communications, he studied English at University College Cork and creative writing at Le Moyne College in New York. He worked in journalism for 22 years, earning awards for his court and news reporting. He's with us on the Book Show to talk about his debut novel, A Billion Sharp Pieces. It's a sinuous and exciting take on the psychological thriller genre. It asks how far someone can be pushed before they crack, and it captures the wilderness years of college life and young adulthood for a troubled man growing up in Ireland. Welcome to the Book Show, David.
Thanks very much for having me, Hannah.
It's a pleasure, and congratulations, your debut novel, very exciting.
I know. It's unbelievable. It's really kind of surreal. Something I always wanted to do. I've always been tinkering away with writing, from poetry to short stories, and went on to write two novels, which, yeah, Ibernia, who are based in Madrid, they published the book ended last year, and it's been going great. Yeah, it's hugely exciting.
Nice. And is it very different to the journalism work that you've been doing for many years? Has that helped, do you think?
Well, absolutely. Yeah, I was a journalist for 22 years, covering local and national stories in Ireland with the Irish Independent Group and previously the Irish Examiner Group. And there's obviously a very strong link between book journalism and fiction, in the sense that, you know, you're writing to create and to provide insight for people. You want to kind of ensure that the reader is engaged. So how you present a story, how you structure the story. When I was a journalist, I focused a lot on human interest pieces and features, and they, you know, really got in depth in relation to different issues, mental health, crime. I would have covered a lot of court reports, a lot of inquests, written on a lot of difficult stories, challenging stories, and it kind of created in me a real desire to share those stories. And with a novel, then I suppose you can go into a bit more detail. With journalism, it's often more based on maybe trends or topics or particular incidents, but, you know, you can really do a more multi-layered, in-depth approach, I think, with a novel, and spend more time developing characters. And in A Billion Sharp Pieces, I have two very different characters, very distinct characters, two young Irishmen, and it kind of throws a lot of different challenges their way. And it's how they react to that then, and the interplay between both characters. Then you have Todd McCarthy, who's kind of vulnerable, quiet, somebody who's struggling to find his identity in this place in the world. And then you have Jack Salvack, who he lives with in college and knows growing up, who's very confident and on the surface really successful young Irishman with a lot going for him from a privileged background. The world is his oyster and he's popular with the ladies. Everything that Todd wishes he was. So, you know, Todd falls kind of under his spell and almost kind of wants to be him. But then we discovered a very dark side to Jack too. It's definitely, there's a lot of linkages between the two, but I suppose fiction is where I feel most kind of comfortable in terms of my writing.
Yeah, I suppose with fiction you have more freedom because you can make stuff up.
exactly. And I wrote this book often early in the mornings before work, because I'm quite busy with children, and I, you know, life can be very busy, so you're kind of writing it often early in the morning. And definitely feel like before you kind of turn on the news or switch on social media, just to have that kind of quiet space where you're able to kind of write so freely, really, as you said, just to kind of let the characters off, you know, they tend to push things in their own directions too. So that was really, really interesting and exciting to be able to just kind of go in various directions with the characters, and then to tie it all together. The setting is San Sebastian, a place I visited in the mid 2000s, and the place. Then I went on to research. So again, there the journalism is useful in terms of how to research the detail, the particularity, the vision you want to portray, with, you know, distinct images from that location. It's also set in Lanzarote in part, and then it kind of flashes back then to the both characters' college life in Cork, and then their secondary school life in Dublin. So there's a lot of variety in it. I kind of wanted to create a very paradisial, beautiful setting, like kind of almost like White Lotus or something like that, although that was not out at the time actually, but you know, just kind of a real kind of nice setting and a beautiful setting, and yet the long dark shadow of the past and a violent incident that they both encountered in their past comes back, and everything comes to the surface then in San Sebastian.
Okay, so tell us a bit more about these two men and their relationship.
Yeah, so Todd is, you know, he's somebody who can't help but get in his own way, really. He's trying to kind of find a foothold on the social ladder in his late teens as he sets off in his college life. You know, it's all exciting and everyone around him seems to be having sex and everything is, you know, really exciting for a lot of people, but he's really struggling to find that foothold. And, you know, the novel depicts, I suppose, that a period of kind of the wilderness years, the hedonism, the drink, the drugs. And into that mix, then you have this charismatic character, Jack Salvak. But unfortunately, he's also somebody who's incredibly narcissistic. He's very dominant, and it's all about him, essentially. So it's that interplay between the two of them, you know, that Todd is from, he's from a fairly poor background, hasn't any real resources to his name. And then he sees Jack, and Jack is from a very privileged, wealthy background. So the novel takes the reader on different journeys, I suppose, to go on a holiday to Lanzarote, and everything that happens during that holiday, tends to define that relationship going forward. And then, you know, we meet them in their late 20s, and they both bump into each other by chance on the beach in San Sebastian, and they then, you know, meet up again, and it brings everything back to the surface then. So it's that narrative arc whereby you're kind of seeing these two, you know, people just kind of finding their way in life, early in life, and then 10, 15 years later when they meet up again, you're seeing them, and it's that kind of arc that the story, that the novel explores.
Interesting. And where does the title come from, A Billion Sharp Pieces?
Well, it's, you know, not to be trite, but I suppose, it all comes to light as you read the book, but it kind of is reflective of the mindset, I would say, of Todd, and, you know, just this kind of like shattering of his identity and then pulling it all back together again. So this book really is about male identity. It explores toxic masculinity, and I know that's a new, almost trendy phrase now, and people are kind of, it's popping up and across lots of articles and everything, but it's always been there, obviously, and that misogynism towards women, how that plays out through, I suppose, violence, through language, through just how relationships are defined and different roles male and female have had down through years, but you know, that's embodied then through the character of Jack and Todd to a much lesser extent. But, you know, you're looking at, you know, two characters, one who's definitely a villain and one who's, you know, between hero and anti-hero, really. And it's just that look at, you know, toxic masculinity, and obviously with all the talk of the manosphere at the moment and Louis Theroux and the Netflix program and all that, I think it is quite topical, and so I wanted to kind of explore all of that while reflecting on, I suppose, my own youth and things I would have witnessed, and so
And does the story definitely conclude, or could there be a sequel, do you think?
Yeah, well, this is something, you know, I got so into writing the character of Jack, especially, and Todd, you know, and I was tying around with different ideas in relation to it. But I felt that the whole thrust of the novel required, you know, it to come full circle, essentially, and, you know, to see this story of, you know, this really coming of age story for Todd as he goes through all these challenges, tries to, you know, form a relationship, the difficulty he has in maybe letting go of some of the traumas that he has encountered in his life, and move on with his life too, and all this while in the context of you know, somebody who's been a very negative person in his life, and meeting him and bringing all of a sudden he has a life, and then he's at risk of losing everything that he's built up and all his happiness. So yeah, it's all about, I suppose, you know, looking at this character in totality. So I never close the door fully when I finish a story or a book in terms of a sequel, but I do think that, you know, I'm kind of happy for this as a standalone piece of literature. Yeah.
It must be difficult leaving the characters behind sometimes when you've really, really got into them and feel like you know them so well.
Well, yeah, it is. It's, as a writer, I think it's always hugely satisfying when, having spent countless hundreds of hours potentially reading, and then the editing process, which I found really kind of interesting, but also very time consuming, just the detail and a whole new appreciation for editors now, to be honest. But yeah, I think that it is something that's hugely satisfying when you finish it. But then, yes, you know, a little while later, you're like, oh, damn. Yeah, you know, you really want to stay with some of those characters a bit too. But, you know, I think when you write something like this, and when you spend a lot of time reflecting on your own life too, it's almost like an exorcism where you want to get it out of your system. You want to, you know, put it out there, and hopefully that it connects with other people too, other maybe young men reading it, and they might find some kind of, like I would have found through reading certain books growing up too, you know, just kind of an echo of their own life in it. And maybe a bit of catharsis and a bit of understanding as well. You know, I suppose that's the whole function of being a writer and writing, is that connection, that pure connection, beautiful connection that you can have with the reader. And, you know, it kind of does free up everyone then just to be more open about everything that they've been through in their lives.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So is there some of you and your experiences in either of these men?
I would say, you know, that, yeah, definitely, you know, the whole college scene and all that kind of stuff. I do think I probably, you know, obviously exaggerate things as well, just to create, you know, to inject drama into it. I think for me, this is somewhat of a short novel. It's probably more of a novella, really. I wanted to do a creative page turner. I love authors like Patricia Highsmith, where you get like so much crammed into a fairly short book. You know, there's everything from romance, love, to, you know, really dark themes as well, plot twists, a lot going on in a book that you could read over the course of a weekend, essentially. So I like that exciting book where you're kind of gasping at the end of each chapter almost, you know, to find out what's next, or you're so moved or engrossed in it where you just disappear into the characters. So, yeah, definitely for me, you know, it is probably reflective of certain things I would have witnessed, definitely. And, yeah, it was very much, a journey for me too. But look, I think all good books are, you could sit down with a master plan of what a successful book sales-wise might be, and write that Mills and Boone, or write a certain type of book like that. But for me, I've always been enchanted and engrossed in books that sketch outside the lines a lot, you know, that, you know, really are challenging in some ways, but seamless in others, where you can just, you kind of glide through them, get immersed in them. But you kind of really can feel the human reality and genuine I suppose, emotions within it, you know.
Definitely. Well, if people want to get a copy of A Billion Sharp Pieces, it's out now. It's available on our website, tre.radio, and it's by David Luby, who we've been chatting with today. David, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks a million, Hannah. All the best. Thank you.